Welcome to another Simon & Schuster audio presentation. The Power of Positive Thinking was first published in 1952. Over the years, it has continued to be an inspirational bestseller. Through its vivid demonstrations of the power of faith, it has helped millions of men and women find a workable method for achieving happiness and success. And now, here is Dr. Norman Vincent Peale.
Altogether, too many people are defeated by the everyday problems of life. They go struggling through their days with a sense of dull resentment at what they consider the bad breaks life has dealt them. In a sense, there may be such a thing as the breaks in life, but there is also a spirit and a method by which we can control and even determine those breaks. It's a pity that people let themselves be defeated by the problems, cares, and difficulties of human existence, and it is also quite unnecessary. At the time I wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, it never occurred to me that several million copies would be sold. I am grateful for this, not because so many books were sold, but because I've been privileged to suggest a simple, workable philosophy of living to so many people. The dynamic laws which my book teaches were learned the hard way by trial and error in my personal search for a way of life. I found in these laws solutions to my problems, and as I realized their power, I wanted to share my experience with others. I wrote the book out of deep concern for the pain and struggle of human existence. The examples and techniques I present show that you don't have to be defeated by anything, that you can have peace of mind, improved health, and a never-ceasing flow of energy. Positive thinking is both a philosophy and an expression of faith. It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind, not as an escape from problems, but as a practical approach to creating a life that is personally and socially worthwhile. The way of life to which this book is a witness is very wonderful. Although the road can be a difficult one, it is also full of hope and victory and even joy. It is my sincere hope that you will take these principles to heart and discover for yourself how the power of positive thinking can truly change your life.
The greatest secret for eliminating the inferiority complex, which is another term for profound self-doubt, is to fill your mind to the overflowing with faith. Develop a tremendous faith in God, and that will give you a humble yet soundly realistic faith in yourself. And how do you acquire this dynamic faith?
Well, the answer begins with the study of the Scriptures and the use of prayer, lots of prayer. The Scriptures say, according to your faith, be it unto you. The bigger your problem, the bigger your prayer should be. Drive your prayers deep into your doubts, into your fears and insecurities. Pray deep, big prayers that have plenty of strength, and you will come up with a powerful and vital faith. It is also helpful to go to a competent spiritual advisor, a minister, a priest, or a rabbi for instruction. The ability to make faith work for you is a skill, and like any skill, it must be studied and practiced to be perfected. One of the most powerful cures for self-doubt is the thought that you are not alone in this world, that Almighty God is actually with you, helping you, that He will be your companion, that He will stand by you, support you, and see you through every adversity. To practice this belief, simply affirm, God is with me. God is helping me. God is guiding me. Spend several minutes each day visualizing God's presence. Then practice believing that affirmation. Go about your business on the assumption that what you have affirmed and visualized is absolutely true. The release of power and confidence which this procedure stimulates will astonish you. Along with prayer and study of the scriptures, another very effective way to build self-confidence is by suggesting confidence concepts to yourself. If your mind is obsessed by thoughts of insecurity and inadequacy, that is, of course, because such thoughts have dominated your thinking over a long period of time. You must give your mind a different and more positive thought pattern, and that requires discipline. In the busy activities of daily existence, the repetition of positive ideas can help re-educate the mind and make of it a power-producing plant. It is possible, even in the midst of your daily work, to drive confident thoughts into your consciousness. Let me tell you about a method one man discovered. This man once went around with the feeling that something terrible was going to happen to him, and it made his life miserable, of course. His mind was saturated with a sense of inferiority. This mental state was reflected in his business, which was doing poorly. But then he hit upon a plan which knocked all those thoughts out of his mind, a plan which allowed him to live with a sense of confidence in himself and in life. I'm a traveling salesman, he explained, and I drive around all day calling on my customers. I've discovered that while a person drives, he or she thinks all kinds of thoughts. If the pattern of thought is negative, one will think many negative thoughts during the day. And that's the way I used to be, he said. I used to drive around all day between calls with my mind full of fear and defeat. And that is one of the reasons my work was going so poorly. Then he showed me his plan. In his glove compartment, he kept a pack of small cards. He chose one and clipped it on the instrument panel of his car. It read, "If you have faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you." He pulled out another, which read, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" He told me that as he drove around, he memorized these thoughts. He said, "I've learned to think differently as a result of this practice. The old insecurities that used to haunt me are just about all gone now. And instead of thinking thoughts of defeat and despair, I think thoughts of faith and courage. It is really wonderful the way this method has changed me. It has helped my business, too. For how can you expect to make a sale if you approach a customer thinking you're going to fail? This plan is a very wise one. By filling his mind with affirmations of the presence, support, and help of God, this man actually changed his thought processes. He put an end to the domination of his long-held sense of insecurity. His potential powers were set free. You see, feelings of confidence depend upon the type of thoughts that habitually occupy your mind. If constantly you fix your attention upon dire events that might happen, the result is that you will constantly feel insecure. And what is even more serious is the tendency to create, by the power of thought, the very condition you fear. But when you fill your mind with thoughts of faith, confidence, and security, you force out all thoughts of doubt and weakness. One man I know used a process I'll repeat often in this tape. He went through the Bible and underlined every passage about courage and confidence that he could find. He then committed these lines to memory, in effect, cramming his mind full of the healthiest, happiest, and most powerful thoughts in the world. After a few weeks, the change in him was little short of remarkable. From almost complete defeat, he became an inspiring and confident personality. He now radiates courage and magnetism. He regained confidence in himself and in his own powers by a simple process of thought conditioning. Ralph Waldo Emerson declared a tremendous truth when he said, "They conquer who believe they can." He also said, "Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain." Practice confidence and faith, and your fears and insecurities will soon have no power over you at all.
The blows of life, from daily difficulties to large-scale problems, tend to dissipate energy and leave you spent and discouraged. In such a condition, your true inner power is often obscured, and it becomes easy to yield to setbacks by feeling hopeless. When you find yourself in such a state, it is important to reappraise your assets. A reasonable self-evaluation will convince you that things are not as hopeless as you think they are.
For example, a man of 52 consulted me. He was in despair. He told me that everything he had built up over his lifetime had been swept away. "Everything?" I asked sympathetically. "Everything," he repeated. "I have nothing left at all. Everything is gone. There is no hope, and I am too old to start all over again." And he said, "Sadly, I have lost all faith." Naturally, I felt sympathetic toward him, but it was evident that his chief trouble came from the dark shadows of hopelessness in his thinking. These shadows had entered into his mind and had distorted his outlook. His true powers had retreated behind this twisted thinking, leaving him without any force. So I said, "Suppose we take a piece of paper and on it list the values you have left." "There's no use," he sighed. "I haven't a single thing left." "Well," I said, "let's just see anyway. Now, is your wife still with you?" "Why, yes, of course. And she's wonderful," he added. "We've been married for 30 years. She would never leave me, no matter how badly things were." "All right," I said, "let's put that down. Wife still with me. And how about your children?" He said, "Actually, they've all told me that they love me and will stand by me. They are wonderful." "Well, then, that is number two. Children love you and will stand by you. Have you any friends?" "Yes," he said, "I really have some fine friends who've offered to help. They've been very generous, but what can they do?" So I wrote down number three, fine friends who hold you in esteem. "How about your integrity, your standing in the community?" "Oh, okay. I've always tried to do the right thing." "Well, let's put that down as number four, integrity, good standing." "How about your health?" "My health is okay, I'm glad to say." Number five, then, is good physical health. "How about the United States? Do you still think it's the best place to do business and is the land of opportunity?" "Well, you and me both agree that it's the only country in the world we'd want to live in," he replied. "Well, then, that's number six. You live in the USA, land of opportunity, and you're glad to be here." Then I asked, How about your religious faith? Do you believe in God and that God will help you? Yes, he admitted, I don't think I could have gotten through this at all if I hadn't had some help from God. At this point, I read him the assets we'd listed. Then I shoved it across the table to him. Take a look at that, I said. You've got quite a total of assets there. I thought you told me everything had been swept away. He grinned sheepishly. I guess I never thought of the situation that way. Perhaps things aren't so bad at that, he said pensively. Maybe I can start all over again. If I could just get some confidence, if I could just get the feel of some power inside me. Well, in time, he did get that feeling, and he did start all over again. But he did so only when he changed his viewpoint, his mental attitude. It was faith that swept away his doubts and gave him more than enough power to overcome all of his difficulties. And I must admit, he had plenty at the time.
This incident illustrates a profound truth, that attitudes are more important than facts. Anything facing us, however difficult, is not as important as our attitude towards it. The secret to rising above most difficulties is simply to gain a more balanced view, with a slant that is weighted a bit on the positive side.
So if you feel you are defeated and have lost confidence in your ability to win, tell you what you do. Take a piece of paper and make a list, not of the factors that are against you, but of those that are for you. If anyone thinks constantly of opposing forces, those forces will get built up until they assume a formidable strength, which they actually don't possess. But if you mentally visualize and affirm and reaffirm your assets, you will rise out of even the most awesome difficulty. Your inner powers will reassert themselves, and with the help of God, lift you from defeat to victory.
To help you start building up your self-confidence, here are 7 suggestions. 1. Create a mental picture of yourself as a success. Hold on to this picture tenaciously. Never permit it to fade. Since your mind tries to complete what it pictures, always picture success, no matter how badly things seem to be going at the moment. Whenever a negative thought about your personal power comes to mind, deliberately voice a positive thought to cancel it out. 2. Don't build up obstacles in your imagination. Minimize them instead. Problems should be seen for what they are and never inflated by fearful thoughts. 3. Don't be awestruck by other people or try to copy them. Remember that most people, despite a confident appearance, are often as scared and as doubtful of themselves as you are. 4. Get a competent counselor to help you understand the origin of your feelings of inferiority and self-doubt. These feelings often begin in childhood. Self-knowledge leads to a cure. 5. Each day, practice the following affirmation. Repeat it out loud if possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here's another dynamic affirmation. If God be for us, who can be against us? 6. Make what you think is a true estimate of your own ability, then raise it 10%. Don't become egotistical, but develop a wholesome self-respect. Believe in your own God-released powers. 7. Put yourself in God's hands. To do that, simply state, I am in God's hands. Then believe you are now receiving all the power you need. Affirm that the kingdom of God is within you, in the form of adequate power to meet all of life's demands. Remind yourself that God is with you, and there is nothing that can defeat him. Now, Dr. Peel illustrates an important fact about human nature. You can think your way to failure and misery, but you can also think your way to success and happiness. because thoughts are real and dynamic. Learning to harness their power is a crucial step in creating a life of your own choosing.
Some years ago, I was working with a group of people to establish a nonprofit inspirational magazine. At one point, our endeavor was faced with severe financial problems. In other words, it was almost broke. And when it seemed almost impossible to keep going, I called a meeting. I invited a woman who had once contributed a nice sum to this magazine, hoping that lightning might strike twice in the same place. But this time, she said she would give us something of greater value than money. This rather surprised us, for under the circumstances, we couldn't think of anything more valuable than money. When she told us she was going to give us a creative idea, we didn't jump with enthusiasm. All we could think was, how can we pay our bills with an idea? But, as it turned out, an idea is precisely what helped us pay our bills. Every achievement in the world was first initiated as a creative idea. First the idea, then faith in it, then the means of implementing the idea. That is the way success proceeds. This woman continued. Now she said, here is the idea. What is your present trouble? Your trouble is that you lack everything, don't you? You lack money. You lack subscribers. You lack equipment. You lack courage. And why do you suppose you lack everything? Why, simply because you're only thinking about what you lack. You are constantly thinking lack thoughts, and you have thereby created a condition of lack. She told us if you constantly think about what you don't have, you keep creating the conditions that keep you in this state. By emphasizing only what you lack, you frustrated the creative forces that can get this project really rolling. She said, from the standpoint of doing a lot, you've been working very hard, but you fail to do the one all-important thing that will lend power to all your other efforts. You have not employed positive thinking. To correct the situation, she advised us to reverse the mental process and begin to think, instead of lack, to think prosperity, achievement, and success. She told us, don't hold on to the mental pictures of difficulties and failures. Lift your mind above them and visualize instead powers and achievements. When you elevate your thoughts into the realm of attainment, you look down on your problems rather than up at them, and thus you get a more encouraging viewpoint. Always come up over your problems mentally. Never approach a problem from below. Wise advice, if you ask me. Anyway, it worked. She told us the key was to visualize the solution to our problem. Suddenly she asked, how many subscribers do you need to keep this magazine going? At that time, we had only 40,000 paid subscribers. I thought quickly and said, 100,000 would do it. All right, she said confidently. That's not too hard. In fact, that's easy. All you need to do is to visualize 100,000 people being creatively helped by this magazine, and you will have them. In fact, the minute you can see them, image and visualize them in your mind, you already have them. She turned to me and she said, can you see 100,000 subscribers at this minute? Look out there. Look ahead of you in your mind. Can you see them? Well, I wasn't convinced, and I said rather doubtfully, well, maybe so, but they seem pretty dim to me. She seemed a little disappointed in me as she repeated, "Use your imagination to visualize those 100,000 subscribers." I guess my imagination wasn't working too well because all I could see was the insufficient but actual 40,000 paid subscribers. Then she turned to someone else. "Can you see 100,000 subscribers?" she asked. I rather doubted that he would either, but this fellow does have a creative imagination, and I noticed by the fascinated look on his face that she had him. He was gazing straight ahead with a look of wonder when she asked again, "Do you see the 100,000 subscribers?" "Yes," he cried eagerly. "Yes, I do see them." Electrified, I demanded, "Where are they? Point them out to me." Then I, too, began to visualize them. "Now," continued the woman, "let us say a prayer and together thank God for giving us 100,000 paid subscribers." Frankly, I thought that was pushing the Lord rather hard. But then I remembered a verse in the scripture where it says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive them." That means that when you pray for something, visualize what you pray for. Believe that if it is God's will and is not selfishly sought after, then it is at that moment given to you. If you have difficulty believing this story, let me assure you that from that moment on, our magazine enterprise never lacked for anything. I tell you this because I was awed by the experience, realizing that I had stumbled upon a tremendous formula for personal victory. I call it the power of positive imaging. I decided to apply it from then on to my own problems, and whenever I've done so, I've had marvelous results. But whenever I fail to do so, I've missed great opportunities.
One of the most important insights about the human race was expressed by the famous psychologist William James. He said, "The greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind. In other words, as you think, so shall you be." If you want to improve your situation, get rid of all your old, tired, worn-out thoughts. Fill your mind with fresh, new, creative thoughts of faith, love, and goodness. By this process, you can actually remake your life.
One business executive I know is the type of person who is never defeated. No problem, no setback, no obstacle ever gets him down. He simply attacks each difficulty with an optimistic attitude and a ready confidence that it will work out all right. And in some strange way, it always does. He seems to have a magic touch in life, a touch that never fails. One day he told me his secret. I was visiting his plant, a modern structure equipped with the latest machinery, using the most up-to-date production methods. It was a factory of outstanding efficiency. When we entered his office, which was decorated in a very modern style, I was quite surprised to find on his highly polished mahogany desk a battered old copy of the Bible. "That book," he replied, pointing to the Bible, "is actually the most up-to-date thing in this plant. Equipment wears out and furnishing styles change. But that book is so far ahead of us that it never gets out of date." When I went to college, my good Christian mother gave me that Bible, saying if I would read and practice its teachings, I would learn how to get through life successfully. I took the book, he said, just to humor her, but for years I practically never looked at it. I thought I didn't need it. Well, how stupid can you get? And I got my life in a terrible mess. He continued his story, saying, "Everything went wrong, primarily because I was wrong. I was thinking wrong and acting wrong. I succeeded at practically nothing, failed at almost everything. Now I realize that my principal trouble was wrong thinking. I was negative, resentful, cocky, opinionated. Nobody could tell me anything. I was filled with gripes at everybody. Little wonder I had no friends." Well, he said, "One night I was going through some papers and I came across the long-forgotten Bible. It brought up old memories and I started to read it aimlessly. It's strange how things happen, how in just a moment of time, everything can become different. As I read, a sentence leaped up at me, a sentence that changed my life. And when I say changed, I mean changed. Here is the sentence this man quoted: The Lord is the strength of my life. In this will I be confident." I don't know why that one line affected me so, he went on, but it did. I now know that I was weak and a failure because I had no faith, no confidence. But when I read that line, something clicked in my mind. I guess I had what they call a spiritual experience. I decided to put my faith in God thereafter and sincerely try to do my best, following the principles laid down in the Bible. As I did so, I began to get hold of a new set of positive thoughts. In time, my old ways of thinking faded away, and these new thoughts took over and remade me. This incident illustrates an important fact about human nature, which is, you can think your way to failure and misery, but you can also think your way to success and happiness. The world in which you live is not primarily determined by outward conditions and circumstances, but by the thoughts that habitually occupy your mind. As Emerson declared, a man is what he thinks about all day long. It has been said that thoughts are things, that they actually possess dynamic power. You can actually think yourself into or out of situations. You can make yourself ill with your thoughts, and by the same token, you can make yourself well by the use of a healing type of thought. Think positively, and you create an atmosphere that nurtures the development of positive outcomes. At this very moment, potential positive ideas are working in your mind. By releasing and developing these ideas, you can solve your financial problem or your business situation or anything. The practical use of your creative, positive thought pattern can remake your life and you along with it. There was a time when I acquiesced in the silly idea that there is no relationship between faith and prosperity. That when one talked about religion, it should never be related to achievement, that it dealt only with ethics and morals or social values. But I came to realize that such a viewpoint limits the power of God and the development of the individual. Christianity teaches that there is a tremendous power in the universe and that this power can and does dwell in personality. It is a power that can blast out all defeat and lift a person above every difficult situation. We have seen the demonstration of atomic energy. We know that astonishing and enormous energy exists in the universe. This same force of energy resides in the human mind. Nothing on earth is greater than the human mind in potential power. The average individual is capable of much greater achievement than he or she has ever realized. When you actually learn to release your potential power, you will discover that your mind contains ideas of such innovative and creative value that you need not lack for anything anymore. By the full and proper use of your power, stimulated by God's power, you can make just about anything of your life, anything you will pray for and work for. So, tell you what, look deeply into your mind. Amazing wonders are there. Here is a method that will help creative thoughts to flow freely from your mind. First, quiet your mind so that inspirations may rise from its depths. Believe that God is now, this minute, helping you. Form a picture in your mind of your life as it should be. Believe in it. Pray about it. Work at it. Never give up on it. Organize your life on a spiritual basis so that God's mighty principles really go to work within you. You will find that here is one of the greatest laws in the universe, and it's stated in three words: believe and succeed. In the final analysis, the basic reason a person fails to live a creative and successful life is because of error within himself. His thinking is wrong. When the 23rd Psalm says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness," it not only means that a person is to depart from evil and do good, but that he is to change his thinking from wrong to right, from error to truth. The great secret of successful living is to reduce the amount of error in oneself and increase the amount of truth. It's just that simple. A constant stream of positive, God-guided thoughts creatively affects the circumstances of life. For inner truth always guides you toward the right path and therefore leads to the right results.
Here are some practical suggestions for changing your mental attitude from negative to positive. Such a change will release the kinds of thoughts that can help you make creative changes in your circumstances. 1. For the next 24 hours, deliberately speak hopefully about everything: your job, your health, your future. Go out of your way to put optimism in everything you say. 2. After speaking hopefully for 24 hours, continue the practice for 1 week. Then you can permit yourself to be realistic for a day or two. You'll discover that what you meant by realistic a week ago was actually pessimistic, and what you now mean by realistic is something entirely different. It is the dawning of the positive outlook. When most people say they're being realistic, they delude themselves. They are simply being negative. 3. Feed your mind even as you feed your body. A healthy mind requires nourishing, wholesome thoughts. Start at the beginning of the New Testament and underline every sentence about faith. Continue doing this until you've marked every passage in the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 4. Commit all of those passages to memory. Learn one each day until you can recite the entire list from memory. This will take time, but remember, you've spent much more time being a negative thinker. Unlearning a negative pattern requires time and effort. 5. Make a list of your friends who are positive thinkers and deliberately cultivate their company. Don't abandon your negative friends, but get closer to those with a positive point of view until you've absorbed their spirit. 6. Try to avoid arguments, but whenever a negative attitude is expressed, counter with a positive and optimistic opinion. 7. Pray a great deal and always let your prayers take the form of thanksgiving. Assume that God is giving you great and wonderful things, for if you think He is, He surely is. God will not give you any greater blessing than you can believe in. Remember, according to your faith, be it unto you. We've all had problems from time to time, and for some of us they've been so large we're tempted to think that no power on earth can save us. You'll see that some people don't look at things that way. They've found there is an answer to every problem. There is a power that can help. Prayer.
Personally, I believe that prayer is a sending out of vibrations from one person to another and to God. The entire universe is in vibration. The air is filled with vibration. There are vibrations even in the molecules of a table. The reaction between two human beings is in vibration. When you send out a prayer for another person, you are activating the forces of a spiritual universe. You transmit from yourself to another person a sense of love, helpfulness, support, a sympathetic, powerful understanding. In this process, you awaken the creative vibrations through which God brings to pass the good things you pray for. Prayer power is a manifestation of energy. Just as there are scientific techniques for the release of atomic energy, so are there procedures for the release of spiritual energy through prayer. Tension and other related troubles can result from a lack of inner harmony, but it is remarkable how prayer restores the harmonious functioning of body and soul. It appears that even the aging process can be held in check by prayer. You need not lose your vital energy or become weak and listless just because of accumulating years. Nor is it necessary for your spirit to sag or become dull. Prayer can actually freshen you up every evening and send you out renewed every morning. And of course, if prayer is driven deeply into your subconscious, you can receive guidance in problems. If you haven't experienced this power, perhaps you need to learn some new techniques of prayer. It is important to realize that you're dealing with the most tremendous power in the world when you pray. The key is to find the process that most effectively opens your mind to God. Any method which stimulates the flow of God's power into your mind is highly creative. If you've been praying in a certain manner, even if it's brought blessings, which it doubtless has, perhaps you can pray even more profitably by varying the pattern and by experimenting with fresh prayer formulas. One man I know opened a small business in New York City a number of years ago. He characterized his first establishment as a little hole in the wall. He had only one employee. In a few years, this man moved into more extensive quarters. It became a very successful operation. As he described it, his method of business was to fill the little hole in the wall with optimistic prayers and positive thoughts. He declared that hard work, positive thinking, fair dealing, right treatment of people, and the proper kind of praying always gets results. This man, who certainly has a creative and innovative mind, worked out his own formula for solving his problems. It's a curious formula, but I have practiced it myself, and I know that it works. The formula is, 1, prayerize. 2, picturize. 3, actualize. By prayerize, he meant a daily system of creative prayer. When a problem arose, he talked it over with God very simply and directly. He didn't talk to God as to some vast and far-off shadowy being, but conceived of God as being with him there in his office, in his home, on the street, in his car, always nearby as a partner and close associate. He took seriously the biblical injunction to pray without ceasing. He interpreted this to mean that he should go about the business of each day discussing with God in a natural manner the questions and decisions that had to be resolved. He filled his daily life full of prayer. That is to say, he lived by prayer. For example, he would say, "What will I do about this, Lord?" Or, "Give me a fresh insight on this, Heavenly Father." The presence of God finally came to dominate his conscious and ultimately his unconscious thinking. In effect, he prayerized his daily life and business. The second point in his formula of creative prayer is to picturize. We've all seen how the person who assumes success tends to already have success. People who assume failure tend to have failure. When either failure or success is pictured, there is a very strong tendency for that picture to actualize as fact and become reality. To assure something worthwhile happening, therefore, first pray about it and test it according to God's will. Then print a picture of it on your mind as happening, holding that image firmly in consciousness. Continue to check that picture to God's will, that is to say, put the matter in God's hands and follow God's guidance. Work hard and intelligently, thus doing your part to achieve success in the matter. Practice believing and continue to hold the picture firmly in your thoughts. Do this and you will be astonished at the ways in which that which is visualized comes to pass. For example, a woman became aware she and her husband were drifting apart. Theirs had been a happy marriage, but the wife became preoccupied with social affairs, and the husband had gotten super busy. Before they knew it, the old-time close companionship was gone. Then, one day, she discovered his interest in another woman. At this, she lost her head and became hysterical. When she consulted her minister, he listened to her tale and then turned the conversation to herself. She admitted that she had become self-centered, sharp-tongued, and nagging. She then confessed that she had never felt herself the equal of her husband. Her sense of inferiority had made her retreat, actually, into antagonism. The minister suggested that she create an image of herself as capable and attractive. He whimsically told her that God runs a beauty parlor and that faith techniques could put beauty on a person's face and charm and ease in their manner. He gave her instruction on how to pray and how to spiritually picturize. He also advised her to hold a mental image of the goodness of her husband and of being once again in harmony and companionship with him. She was to hold this picture tenaciously with faith. Soon after this, her husband informed her that he wanted a divorce. She had conquered herself enough by now to receive this request with calmness. She replied that she was willing if he wanted it, but suggested they defer the decision for 90 days. If he still wanted a divorce at the end of this period, she would cooperate with him. Night after night he went out, and night after night she sat at home. But now she pictured him as seated in his old chair. She painted an image of him there, comfortably reading as in the old days. She visualized him puttering around the house, painting and fixing things as he used to do. She visualized the two of them playing golf together and taking hikes as they once did. She maintained this picture with steady faith, and one night, what do you know? There he actually sat in his old chair. She looked twice to be sure that it was the reality rather than the picturization. But perhaps a picturization is a reality. For at any rate, the actual man was actually there. After that night, he still went out occasionally. But more and more frequently, he sat in his chair. Then he began to read to her, as in the old days. Finally, one sunny Saturday afternoon, he asked, "What do you say to a game of golf?" The days went by pleasantly until she realized that the 90th day had arrived. That evening she said quietly, "Bill, this is the 90th day." "What do you mean?" he asked, puzzled. "The 90th day. Why, don't you remember? We agreed to wait 90 days to settle that divorce matter, and this is the day." He looked at her for a moment, and then, hidden behind his paper, he casually turned a page and said, "Don't be silly. I couldn't possibly get along without you. Where did you get the idea I would ever leave you?" When the New Testament says the kingdom of God is within you, it is informing us that God has provided us with all the potential abilities we need. It is up to us to tap and develop those powers. A man I know is the chief of 4 executives in a successful company. At regular intervals, these men have idea sessions. The purpose of these meetings is to tap all the creative ideas lurking in the minds of any of the 4. For this session, they use a room without telephones, buzzers, or other usual office equipment. Before starting the session, the group spends 10 minutes in silent prayer and meditation. They conceive of God as creatively at work in their minds. Each prays and meditates silently in his own way. Following the quiet period, all start talking, pouring out ideas that have come to their minds. Memos of the ideas are written on cards and thrown on the table. No one is permitted to criticize any idea at this point, for they believe that argument can stop the flow of creative thought. The cards are gathered up to be evaluated at a later session, which follows this idea-tapping session, where thinking is stimulated by prayer power. As one of the executives explained, we've come up with insights that not only show on our bottom line, but which have given us a new feeling of confidence. Beyond that, a deeper feeling of fellowship among the four of us has grown, and this has spread to others as well. Alert people everywhere are finding that by trying prayer power, they feel better, work better, sleep better, are better. A young woman came to me a while ago and admitted that she was filled with hate, jealousy, and resentment. She was also very apprehensive, always worrying about her children, that they would be sick or get into an accident or fail in school or something. Her life was an unhappy mixture of fear and worry. I told her that the practice of creative prayer could change her life. I suggested that she pray every day at the time the children were coming home from school and make her prayers an affirmation of God's protective care. Doubtful at first, she became a most enthusiastic practitioner of prayer. Here's what she wrote to me. My greatest progress dates from the time you told me that every day is a good day if you pray. I began to put into practice the idea of affirming that this would be a good day the minute I woke up in the morning. And I can positively say that I haven't had a bad or upsetting day since that time. The amazing thing is that my days actually haven't been any smoother or any more free from petty annoyances than they ever were, but they just don't seem to have the power to upset me anymore. Every night I begin my prayers by listing all the things for which I am grateful, little things that added to the joy of the day. I know that this habit has geared my mind to pick out the nice things and forget the unpleasant ones. The fact that for 6 weeks I have not had a single bad day and have refused to get downhearted with anyone is really marvelous to me.
Millions of people find tremendous power each day through prayer. Here are 10 suggestions for achieving effective results from your prayers. 1. Set aside a few minutes each day. Do not say anything. Simply practice thinking about God. This will make your mind spiritually receptive. 2. Pray out loud using simple, natural words. Tell God anything that's on your mind. Talk to God in your own language. 3. Pray as you go about the business of the day, on the subway or bus or at your desk. Begin by closing your eyes to shut out the world and concentrate briefly on God's presence. 4. Don't always ask for something when you pray, but instead affirm that God's blessings are being given and spend most of your prayers offering thanks. 5. Pray with the belief that sincere prayers can reach out and surround your loved ones with God's love and protection. 6. Never use a negative thought in prayer. Only positive thoughts get results. 7. Always express willingness to accept God's will. Ask for what you want, but be open to take what God gives you. It may be better than what you ask for. 8. Practice the attitude of putting everything into God's hands. Ask for the ability to do your best and then leave the results confidently to God. 9. Pray for people you do not like or who have mistreated you. Resentment is the first obstacle to spiritual power. 10. Make a list of people for whom to pray. The more you pray for others, especially those not connected with you, the more the good results of prayer will come back to you.